Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. Today is Sunday, November 25th. We hope everyone had a very happy Thanksgiving and is looking forward to a great show. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564 or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now, here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
Thank you, Michelle, for the introduction. As always, you do a wonderful job, and we appreciate the work you do. And, Trey, we have had a crazy weekend of sports. How's everything going? Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, man, everything's going great, man. Can't complain. How are you?
Oh, doing great. It's Sunday. We have to go to work tomorrow, so I don't want to complain about that because that's a selfish thing to do. So I'll just keep it to myself, and I'm excited. You know, a big weekend in college football, NFL. We have some changes, some shakeups, some coaching changes, so we're going to be all on it. So just to announce, Trey, guess who won the pick'em this weekend in our group for the radio?
I love how you always tell me to guess when I know that you won it.
Yeah, I did it. It was a real tough week, actually, so I probably got lucky in some of my picks. But, you know, there's some great rival games this Saturday. I hope you got to watch all of them, and I'm sorry about your Florida State Seminoles. I know it's hard when you lose to your most hated rival.
Well, there's a lot of that going around this week. My pack's playing right now. Maybe they can pull out a win and make a decent football weekend, but, you know, as you always have good family, you know, and good friends, you know, football is always a secondary thing, Tarvin. Love talking about it. It's definitely entertainment, but, you know, there's always things to make you happy during the weekend, even when your team loses.
Yeah, but when you lose 49-0 to your rival, it could be a little worse than losing like Florida State did.
Well, I mean, at least the expectations were low for you guys going in. I mean, we were the favorite, and, you know, and we get beat pretty handily, so... you know, a tough weekend for a lot of folks out there.
Yeah, and we haven't been on, it seems like forever since we've had a show, but we had a show Tuesday night, this past Tuesday night, and thanks to everyone. We had, what was it, Trey, 33,000 listeners to the show? Or 32,000, which one was it?
It was something like that, yeah. 32 or 33.
Yeah, that was a great night for the show, and on an off night, that's not too bad. And I want to thank everybody again for listening. And again, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, but I'm going to go ahead and give the call-in number tonight because we have a lot to discuss, and I'm sure a lot of people want to weigh in, 646-716-5564. Join us in the chat room. It's already up and running. We have people coming in. Join us and share your knowledge with everyone on the show, or just listen online. You know, just sit around your computer and listen, watch your football game, whatever. But we're looking forward to hearing from everybody tonight, Trey. And man, there's been a lot of firing going on that I want to talk about in college football. You know, last week we talked about Derek Dooley losing his job. Sad thing, but necessary for Tennessee. And now Gene Chizik. Today, it was announced actually last night, but it was made official today. Gene Chizik has been fired along with the entire staff at Auburn. Trey, thoughts? Trey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry, you cut out there, Tarvin. I didn't hear you.
Okay, Gene Chizik has been fired at Auburn. I apologize for that. With the entire staff, do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, because this is a situation that, I mean, there were four firings today. It's kind of like Sunday, Bloody Sunday for coaches, you know, which adds to the number of coaches that were fired last week we talked about. I mean, not just Dooley. I mean, Joe Persultz was fired at Kentucky, you know, and Tedford out at Cal. I mean, you know, this week you have Purdue's coach, you have O'Brien out at NC State. I mean, so a lot of coaches who are out right now, and some of these programs are, you know, programs that you might want to coach at. The problem I have with all what Auburn did, and the problem, I guess I have two things, Tarver. One is that ultimately I think it's a good move for Auburn in the long run. But I do think it's going to be a little bit problematic for Auburn to bring in a coach who doesn't look at it as a temporary job. I mean, you're not going to be getting a guy coming in thinking that he's going to be the stability of a program. He's going to be someone coming in trying to either jump his name up or he's going to be trying to make a name at Auburn. So, you know, because of the way Auburn, you know, fired Chizik 2 years after winning a national title, I mean, that doesn't say loyalty from a program at all from a coaching standpoint. But I do think it was the right move for Auburn.
Yeah, in the defense of, you know, first of all, Jay Jacobs, he should have been fired too, the athletic director. But looking at Chizik, I mean, if you watched that game yesterday or if you watched all games and you really study the program, the team has gotten worse from week 1 to 12. And when you lose 87-0 to your rivals, I believe that's right, Georgia, Alabama, that's unacceptable. And when you fights are going on in the locker room, like Tino said, the team's divided. It's just, I think Chizik's a great man, a good person. But I think once you lose control of a team, once you lose that team, it's just so hard to get it back, almost impossible. And even though those players love Gene Chizik, and you know they do, it was an emotional day in Auburn today at the meeting, but do you love him enough to play for him to spill your guts out on the field and leave it? So at the end of the day, Auburn was getting worse. Auburn made the right decision, but Trey, I don't agree with that decision if you haven't hired a coach already. Why fire Gene Chizik unless you know who the replacement is going to be? That's what scares me if I'm an Auburn fan, and I am an Auburn fan.
Yeah, and I think what would scare me if I'm an Auburn fan is if you get you know, if the coach in waiting really is Petrino, I don't know that's a good makeup for Auburn. I think Petrino is a decent enough coach. I mean, he's never won the big one, so I mean, we can't say he's a great coach. But Tarvin, I don't know if Petrino is right. I mean, I know a lot of Auburn fans were very critical of the way Petrino is. You know, the way he coaches, the way he recruits, and to bring in that situation into a situation where Auburn's already getting investigated right now. I just don't know if you want to bring in someone as volatile as Petrino. I think you want to bring in a good coach but a stabilizing force into Auburn instead of Petrino, who has the ability to really drive, I mean, obviously some recruits right back into Auburn, but also drive other recruits away. You know, so we'll see. I mean, I'm hearing that Petrino is going to be in the SEC still, and so I can't imagine him being at Kentucky. So, you know, whether he's back at Arkansas or if it's Tennessee or Auburn, you got to think it's one of those three.
Well, do you think there's a chance that, you know, everybody makes mistakes, that Bobby Petrino is humbled now after going through that in his life, cheating on his wife, almost going through a divorce, his wife forgiving him? Do you think maybe he comes back a different coach, more of a humble coach? Because before, Bobby Petrino was a jerk. I mean, he was terrible. He walked out on Atlanta Falcons, just left them up high and dry. And I couldn't stand him at Arkansas, honestly, Trey. And I'm not going to sit here and say I support Bobby Petrino coming to Auburn because I just don't know. But what I do know is I want a coach that can come in and take control of that program and put the Pat Dyes in place, put the Pat Dye where he needs to be away from the program. I don't think Bobby Petrino is a man that's going to get influenced by outside people unless he's 6-foot-tall, blonde hair. But other than that, I think Bobby Petrino would be a good fit at Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so sure. I mean, this is a guy who had more than one mistake in his past, and he's burned bridges at programs. Luckily, he didn't burn a bridge when he was the offensive coordinator under Tuberville at Auburn, or, you know, he wouldn't even be considered. But the point is I don't think that Petrino isn't the right fit when you're having the problems Auburn's having now, and Petrino's a guy who's had problems with recruiting before and violations. So I just think that Petrino isn't the right guy to come in and clean up your program, make sure you're on the right straight, you know, and arrow, but also to make sure that your program is heading up towards, you know, being a bowl-winning team every single season.
It seems like people in the chat room are with you, Trey. Sonia Minson in the chat room says if you put Petrino in an Auburn atmosphere with Louder and Dye, it's a time bomb. Auburn best bet is to do what Bama did and get a coach that's in full control of the program and boosters. But I don't think it's hard to get control of those boosters, though. That's one thing that's hard to do. But, yeah, it's tough. I mean, I looked at Charlie Strong maybe as a replacement. I looked through his name. I looked over Jimbo Fisher. But at the end of the day, Charlie Strong, I mean, is a good candidate. But, again, he can't even win the Big East right now. So you're going to bring a coach in from Louisville. They can't even win that conference. He's lost two straight at Louisville. Jimbo Fisher's choking at Florida State. So, I mean, I don't know who the good fit is, honestly. Neither one of those, I think, I don't know, man. Fisher from the Rams is my best bet that I would like to have, like the John Gruden to come. But looking at it, it's just a gamble. Who's out there, Trey, that can really just turn around your program and take it in the right direction? I just don't see that person available right now.
Well, I think part of the problem for what Auburn's wanting is they're wanting a perfect coach to come in who can do what Saban does for Alabama, and there's not a Saban out there. There's not you can't expect that if you're an Auburn football fan. You can't expect to have the number one coaching sort of recruit, if it will, come into Auburn because, I mean, Auburn is a good program to go into, but it's not an elite program like in Alabama. So it's not going to be a program that they're going to be able to draw in the hugest name possible, the coach and the head coach who just basically can pick whatever school he wants. I mean, Auburn's going to get a good program coach. There's no doubt about it. Auburn's a good program. They're going to get a good coach. But I just think wishing for the moon for some of the posts I've seen on the message boards and that kind of stuff is probably asking for too much at Auburn. It's kind of like, Tarvin, I saw NC State talking about Bill Cowher was going there, and that's not happening. I mean, come on.
Hey, guys, I'm having trouble typing in the chat room. There's a few things I wanted to respond to in the chat room, but I'm going to have to re-log in. Trey, I'm going to take a caller real quick from the 330 area code. Not familiar with that one. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this and where are you from?
Hey, man, what's up, man? Omar Oliver in Waycross,
hey,
Georgia.
Omar.
What's up, Brian?
Hey, Omar, good to hear from you. How's everything going?
Hey, man, you know, me and you, we on Facebook, man. We talk all the time, man, You're a loyal Auburn fan, and I respect that, man. But I got a name for you at four schools, right?
Yep.
Okay, in Kentucky, Chris Hatcher from Murray State. All right?
Ooh,
Tennessee,
okay.
Tennessee, John Gruden, David Cutcliffe.
Okay.
At Auburn, I think I need to go a guy like Butch Davis. So what do you think of that?
Well, Butch Davis seems like he's gotten every program in trouble that he's been at, so I don't think that's a good
right.
Thing to see right now. With the investigation going on at Auburn and just the turmoil, I think we need more of a stable leader, I think.
Auburn's a great program. It really is a great program, but like you say, it's not an elite program. It's got to be a guy who really wants to my guy for Auburn is Petrino because he's been to Auburn. He knows the culture. But he has a track record. I think Petrino would be a great fit because he knows offense. But at the same time, I understand that the legal and the personal problems, and you don't want that at Auburn right now, especially after the Cam situation in 2010. You don't want a guy with that much baggage. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I like Bobby Petrino is a coach, X's and O's guy to come in and get control. But, yeah, I'm just worried about what he brings with him, going into a living room and sitting with a mom and dad and standing with your child, I'm going to probably be screwing his teacher in no time or something. You know, it's hard. That's a tough situation to be in.
I understand that. I understand. Hey, Brian.
Yes, sir.
We got a big game in Atlanta this weekend, man, and everybody and their mama, man, got Bama beating us like we stole something. So I just think... But you know what? I like being under the radar. I like Alabama having all the hype. I don't mind being disrespected because we're not supposed to be there anyway. It's supposed to be Notre Dame, Alabama. So I care less, man. We got a defense that can play with Alabama. We got an offense that can pass the ball on Alabama. And let the chips fall where they may. It's gonna be a great game. Great atmosphere. And the Dogs will win. So what do you think about that, man?
Well, Omar, flying under the radar, I have to question you. I'm hearing more people picking Georgia to beat Alabama than I am Alabama beating Georgia. Are you hearing the opposite?
No. I watch ESPN, SEC Gridiron Live, the new football coaching show with Bowden Bates, And they all, man, they all going for one Alabama to win, man. They all, especially Herb Street and that idiot Lou Holtz, man. You know, I mean, look, I don't mind being under the radar because I remember when we played Florida, they expected us to get rolled by Florida. What happened? We feed off outside disrespect. We feed off that because, you know, Mark Rick's a guy. He's a soft-spoken guy. He's not a fighter guy like Saban. He cares about his players. And Saban's just there to just collect the paycheck. So we got a guy who's not going to be controversial. So Georgia is not a sexy program in terms of controversy. It's, you know, Notre Dame, you know, it's all, you know, the Wake Up the Echoes, that guy who got killed years ago, the coach. What's the name? Coach's name? Made a movie about him. Notre Dame coach, yeah.
I'm not sure right now, off the top of my head.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. New Rodney, that's who it is. That dude. So Notre Dame's got all the hype. They got all the history and all that, man. But Dawg's going to win this game now, I'm telling you.
Well, Alabama at the moment, Omar, is a 7.5-point favorite in the Georgia Dome.
What a shock.
That's a big number
for
an SEC championship.
Yeah.
But
right.
You know, if Alabama was undefeated right now, I think that line would be about 11 or 12. So that's a close line. I mean, I guess 7.5, Trey. Are you thinking anything higher or lower you think it should be?
No, I think that's about right. I mean, here's the thing, Omar, about your Dogs and why it's hard to earn respect this year. And look at the schedule you guys played. I mean, I think you guys are 49th in strength of schedule.
Right,
Alabama's
right.
Sitting around 30. I'd say probably after the Auburn game, they're probably around 35th, maybe 34th. So, you know, after the Georgia Tech game, you guys have been slipping to the 50s.
Right.
It's hard to earn respect when you're Georgia right now, when you play, you know, the easiest schedule, you know, argument-wise, in the SEC, and then you didn't play anybody outside the conference. So,
right.
You know, for Georgia, you're going to have to earn your respect this weekend.
That's fine. You know, we don't control our schedule. That's what the schedule is, you know, and that's fine. I don't mind that because at the end of the day, you still got to line up and play. You know, so I don't have.
So far, I really like the Georgia Bulldogs, though, the way they've been playing lately. I really
appreciate
like
it.
The defense. I like the running
right.
game. I like
Thank
the
you,
big
man.
Tight end. I mean, it really looks like to me that Georgia is going to learn from that SEC championship game last year against LSU, and that benefits them taking a beating like they did last year. So, I look for Georgia to play a great game. Will they win that game? Well, I can't make that prediction to Wednesday night, but it's going to be a good one, I believe.
We got a running game, too. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing I like about you. But, Omar, thanks for the call, man, and join us Wednesday night as we break down this game. We'd love to have you come on and talk about it with us.
Go Dogs, man.
All right. Take care, Omar. Thanks for the call. That was Omar, Trey, good Georgia fan. He's always given me grief about my Auburn Tigers, and he's had fun this year. He's had 9 weeks to do it. And even the times we did win against the junior college we played, he's still giving me trouble about it. So, Omar, good luck to you. I hope everything turns out well for you. But it's going to be a tough game, Trey, for Georgia to beat Alabama.
Well, I mean, Georgia's got a lot of talent on the field, but the problem is we just haven't seen enough of Georgia to understand what team – their makeup is, I guess. You know, and they have very talented players. I mean, they have a really good quarterback. I mean, you know, Aaron Murray is the guy who's going to, I think, probably do something in the pros. They have guys on defense. You know, you have two really good freshman running back in this game, you know, Gurley and for Georgia, and then, of course, Yeldon for Alabama. So this is going to be a star-packed game. I mean, just a lot of NFL talent on the field. But, you know, I mean, can Georgia win, Hartman? Of course they can, but, you know, they haven't played a schedule, and not that Alabama's played that much greater of a schedule, but they have played a few teams which we know something about, and that's Texas A&M and LSU, who really make you, you know, you have a barometer, so to speak, on what you think Alabama is this year.
Well, I mean, the Florida game that Georgia won, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Georgia. It's a rival win. It's a big game, but they looked terrible in that game, honestly. Florida, that's the worst they've looked all season besides the Lafayette game, so Georgia, name some big wins they've had this year. That's what I want you to do, Trey. Name me a big win that Georgia's had this season that made you say, wow, Georgia's back.
Yeah, I mean, other than the Florida win, which you're right, Florida really shot themselves in the foot that game. I think they had, I can't remember how many turnovers they had, but it was quite a lot. That's really the only game that they had that really stands out in your mind of a team that they really beat, and you're like, okay, well, that means something to me. And, you know, in that game, I don't really know what to make of it because Florida kind of beat themselves. Now, granted, you got to give Georgia the W. You can't you don't give Florida the loss or not give Georgia the W. But the point is there's no other win to say if that Florida win was a fluke or if Georgia really put themselves in a great situation to, you know, to force those turnovers. Because there's really no other team out there that we saw that Georgia played that, you know, you can go up against and say, okay, this team's real, and they really can. They've been tested, and they overcome that test.
Yeah, and Georgia, they're lucky they lost to South Carolina instead of Florida, because the way Florida's playing right now, Trey, it looks like they would be in that national championship game possibly more than Georgia would if they were playing Alabama.
Yeah, and much of that I absolutely despise Florida. I mean, they have 4 wins against top 10 teams. They're probably the best team in the country, to be quite honest. I think Florida is probably going to be left out of this whole conversation for the national championship hunt, and that's probably the best for every team else, who, you know, the Alabama, the Georgia, and the Notre Dame, because Florida probably could win it all if they were given the chance.
See, that's one thing about Florida, though, and we're going to talk about this in a minute once we get going, but Florida's offense, I don't see the consistency enough out of them to win a championship. That defense is amazing, though. I mean, they force turnovers and they can run the football. So it's hard to beat Florida. You have to bring your A game to beat them. These guys have improved more than any team. You remember Florida last year, Trey? We beat them, and they just couldn't score points. But this year, I don't know what happened in 1 year, but Florida's defense went from middle of the road to great in one season. So we're going to talk about the Gators in a little while. But, Trey, let's start off with the NFL. And let's start it through our games real quick so we can get to our college football.
Well, yeah, our first game was the Thanksgiving game. There were 3 actually very entertaining games on Thanksgiving. We picked the Redskins at the Cowboys, which turned out to be just a spectacular RG3 show. You picked the Redskins to win this game, and you were right. I picked the Cowboys, and Tony Romo, despite all of the hate on him, he put up just huge numbers again in this game. But again, the Cowboys and self-implosion of turnovers and penalties and just a spectacular RG3 performance led to a Redskins victory on the road.
Yep, and one thing about this game that I thought would happen is RG3 would have a big game, and he did. I mean, they almost collapsed there at the end, but RG3 on the road playing a lot better football than the Dallas Cowboys right now, so I really was impressed with Washington going on the road on Thanksgiving. It wasn't a surprise to me, but it was a surprise how big they were up early. It just goes to show the state of the Dallas team right now. I just don't think there's any way Dallas can make the playoffs this year.
No, I think I really do think this is Jason Garrett's last year. I think that that he'll be fired after the season. I think that that'll be one of the coaching moves. I think the NFL is going to have a lot of coaching moves this year as well. I think you're going to see a lot of big names. A lot of tenured coaches, to put it bluntly, will be gone this year. Andy Reid, Norv Turner, Jason Garrett, I think are all going to be gone. Which, again, you know, you're talking about college coaching ranks and why this matters, Tarvin. Well, how important would it be for one of those coaches if they trickled down to the college ranks? I mean, all 3 of these guys could be really great in college. So you never know what's going to happen when it comes to these NFL coaches and whether they go to be coordinators in the NFL or whether their firing leads to them, you know, taking a job in the college ranks. So, you know, these coaching decisions will affect college coaches as well.
Exactly. And I haven't been big on Garrett, honestly. You've heard me all season. And even last year before this show we started, I wasn't big on him actually, you know, leading the Dallas Cowboys, being able – that's just too big of a job for him. And I don't know who's going to get that job, but I'm with you. I think he's gone. I think there's no way he can stay. Dallas wants to win football games. They're not going to settle for mediocrity. But Jerry Jones, Trey, seems to me that he's always the problem there.
Yeah, I think the Dallas job is really going to come down to whether Jerry Jones can pitch enough control to Sean Payton. I think if he can, and if the personal relationship that Sean Payton has to the New Orleans ownership, how much that matters, because you know, there's no hiding the fact that Dallas likes Sean Payton. It's just a matter of, you know, whether New Orleans can keep him or whether Dallas can lure him away with enough incentives and enough control of the program. Because basically, I think that's why Sean Payton would stick with New Orleans, is because it's his show to run.
Exactly. And guys, I'm having trouble with the chat room. I don't know if I know other people are able to type. For some reason, I'm not being able to type in the chat room, but I will be looking and asking, you know, answering your questions or anything. I will not be typing, so I'll answer your questions on the air. So, Trey, who all is in the chat room right now?
We got Bruce Cowart, Brian Burgess, Birdman87, Corn Bird, Drew Hopper, we have a guest, Jason Humphrey, Jonathan Miklos, Joshua Shaw, Lacey Key, Paul Ewing, Sonia Minson, and then, of course, you and I. So the chat room is going well.
Well, speaking of Paul Ewing, Patrick Ewing, or Paul Ewing, that reminds me of J.R. Ewing passed away this past weekend, Trey.
I never watched that show, but I heard that news.
That's sad. J.R. Ewing, you know, he was on the show Dallas and I Dream of Jeannie. Condolences to him and his family. And also, tell us a little bit about the boxer that passed away, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys heard the story, but really a tragic story. I think they pulled the plug. Was it, I guess because he was brain dead last night, Tarum? Was it last night?
It was Friday, I believe, Friday evening, Saturday morning. They decided they had to pull the plug. His oldest son was against it, but, you know, there was no brain activity or no chance of it ever coming back. So they did pull the plug. Just a sad, sad story.
Yeah, Hector Camacho, basically, the facts, kind of sketchy for me. I didn't read the whole situation, but I think he was shot in the head or something. Is that right, Tarvin?
Yeah. I think it was in the jaw, and it went through some arteries and just caused a lot of clotting. It's just terrible. I mean, I think it was at a nightclub. How old was he about? He's 50, right? Why are you at a nightclub when you're 50 years old?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a sad situation for him and his family, but you got to hope that whoever was responsible for that brought to justice.
And the guest in the chat room that we see, guest 10177, go register, get a free account at blogtalkradio.com so you can engage us in the chat room here and give us your comments. So Trey, didn't mean to interrupt you.
Or you can log in through Facebook or Twitter.
Yep, exactly. And follow us too. I'd like you to follow us. It gives me a list of who all's listening to the show. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Trey, but I thought about that when I heard the name Ewing. So if you would take us to game number four, please.
Yeah, game number four of our NFL, the Vikings and the Bears. We picked this early, Tarvin, and I picked the Vikings early because Jay Cutler was not going to play. Jay Cutler played, and the Bears just destroyed Jason Benson's Vikings. This was really controlled by the Bears almost from the very get-go. Jay Cutler, back to form, didn't seem to have any post-concussion letdown at all in this game, and the defense was back to being the Bears' defense.
Yeah, I had to gamble, and I remember I said I'm going to gamble Cutler plays, and he was questionable that night. You thought he was doubtful, but when I read it, I saw questionable. But, yeah, the Bears are just too good to lose right now at home, second week in a row with Cutler. So how important is Jay Cutler to this Bears team, Trey? I know a lot of people cuss Cutler all the time, talk bad about him, but just how good would Chicago be without him?
Oh, I mean, you saw basically how this team played without Jay Cutler and how they played with him. I mean, they're an entirely different ball club. I mean, the fact is Jay Cutler, and not only – and it may matter less if the offensive line wasn't so injured and so terrible right now, but when you have to have a quarterback who just gets rid of the ball. And if one thing Cutler does, he'll throw the ball as soon as he decides he can – there's some sort of angle to get in. I mean, it may get picked off. But Jay Cutler's never been a guy who's been accused of holding on to the ball too long. And, you know, that was part of the problem with all the, you know, Alden Smith's five sacks against the Bears was, you know, holding on to the football. And, you know, some of that was on the quarterback and some of it was on the line. But, you know, Jay Cutler's usually going to get rid of the football pretty quickly. So that helps a bad offensive line, and that's why one of the reasons why he's so important to Quinn's Bears.
Well, Quinn had a good weekend this weekend. His Bears won, and his Irish one. So Quinn's a happy camper right now. But the Bears are a good football team with Cutler, and they're a bad football – not a bad, they're a below-average team without him right now. It's just hard to win without your quarterback. So the Bears destroyed the Vikings. Sorry to Jason Minson out there, but the Bears were just too much today.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, take us to number three, Trey, before we take a call.
Yeah, our number three was the 9-1 Falcons at the Bucs, and this game came down to the wire. I thought the Bucs ended up pulling it off near the end, but Falcons held on to this game and won it, Tarvin.
Yeah, I mean, it was back and forth. The Bucs played good. I think Jonathan in the chat room called me crazy and thought I knew better than to take the Falcons over the Bucs. But that game honestly went the way I thought it would. I thought it would be a close game. The point spread was 1.5. Atlanta was favored. But Atlanta, again, Trey, they're a better football team. They find ways to win on the road and make that big play. So you have to take your hats off to the Atlanta Falcons right now for getting that big win.
Yeah, I mean, 10-1, I mean, again, this team, just finding a way to beat, and you got to say, the Bucs are a really good team. They were super hot. They held Josh Freeman from getting a touchdown in this game. Of course, Doug Martin looked great. But, I mean, the Falcons, again, found a way to beat a pretty good football team. And so for the Falcons now, that 10-1 in the division, they're going to, now they basically can coast and win the division. And now it comes down to is can they clinch home field advantage because they're playing that well right now.
Exactly, and the Falcons look good, and that's, 3 in a row in the NFL I hit. So I'm 3-0, you're 2-1 at this point, right, Trey?
No, I just 1-2 because I picked the Cowboys, lost that one, and lost it because I picked the Vikings early.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think I told you before that game that now the Cutler's playing, I picked the Bears, but no changing because I made it on the air. So 1-2 going into our next game.
All right, the next game, is that the Sunday night game?
No, this is the 49ers and the Saints. This was a little earlier today. What do you think? I mean, was the benching of Alex Smith, who seemed healthy in this game, and this guy, 16 of 18, his last, before he got hurt, was 16 of his last 18 or something like that, and they bench him for Colin Kaepernick. And so far, so good. He took down the Saints today.
Well, I think there's a method behind the madness of Harbaugh right now. I think he's trying to make Alex Smith really appreciate his job and not take it for granted. But, you know, he wasn't anything special today. The Niners had two pick sixes in the game, which put him over the top. So San Francisco went on the road like I thought and took care of the Saints. But I really thought San Francisco could score more on the Saints defense. So I'm not sure that he's going to be the quarterback, you know, for too much longer. I think Alex Smith will eventually take that job back.
Yeah, Paul Ewing in the chat room says that if we can, the Jags are going to trade for Tebow and Alex Smith will end up in Kansas City. I'm going to have to disagree with you, Paul. One of the reasons is Kansas City is going to have the first pick in the draft. They're going to take a young quarterback. They're not going to trade any draft picks away for these guys. They're going to take a quarterback number one. That's Kansas City with the Jags winning today. Seem to be winning the race for the number one pick, and I don't think Kansas City is going to win a game this year, especially with Brady Quinn as their quarterback. So, I don't see that trade happening.
Man, how bad are they, Trey? Kansas City is terrible, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City is terrible. I think, they could trade picks away because they are a team that needs a lot of help, but they do have Dwayne Bowe, and they do have Jamal Charles, so their help needs to be defense. They can get later on in the draft. So they're going to take a quarterback pretty high up. I think they're going to take quarterback number one and stay there.
Well, Jonathan in the chat room said he used to party with Freeman. He lived 10 minutes away from his old house. So Jonathan's rolling with the big boys, isn't he, Trick?
Well, you know, if he's partying with Josh Freeman, I hope he's getting free drinks.
Atlanta did it again. I mean, they went on the road, and very impressed with them. And now we're going to go back to the Saints game, Trey. I look at the Saints, and I see a team that it was getting hot, trying to find their identity, and all of a sudden it's squashed now. Now New Orleans goes to Atlanta, I think Thursday night in Atlanta, and Atlanta is going to take care of business, and I think that's the last time you'll be hearing about the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints are in trouble, obviously. They were in trouble before, but this is a huge loss for them. And again, this is the 49ers sort of controlling themselves. They're an up-and-down team, but, you know, you got to think that if Kaepernick is what a lot of people think, you know, are saying that he could be a game-changer for them and really change their offense. I didn't see a whole lot different today from the 49ers offense that I've seen out of Alex Smith. I mean, the runs that I saw Kaepernick make. I've seen Alex Smith make similar runs. Obviously, Kaepernick's much faster and much quicker, but it wasn't like Alex Smith was a non-mobile quarterback. So, and we'll see how Kaepernick thing works out, and we'll see if you're right, Tarvin, if Alex Smith retakes this job. But I do think the 49ers offense is still pretty good, and I think they're going to still keep plugging away, and the Saints is a big loss for them.
Yep, and I picked the Niners in that game, and I believe you did as well, didn't you?
Yep, did.
All right, take us there. Number one game that's currently being played.
Well, right now it doesn't look much like a number one game, Tarvin. The Giants are up 24-7 on the Packers. They're all over them.
Yep, there's your New York Giants team, Trey, that you know plays great against the good teams and average against the average team. So I expected the Giants, to come in at home tonight and take care of business. And this is the time of year I've talked about. This is when the Giants start playing their best football to make the run. If they lose tonight, they're only a game up in their division. So this is really a must-win for the Giants. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, with their division getting tighter and tighter, a win tonight, which it certainly looks like they're getting that way. The Packers are driving right now, but they're third and long. They're going to keep that maintaining in the control of the division. While they lose, they're going to be very close to losing that control. So, this is a big game for them. And I thought the Giants would come out and play well tonight. Eli Manning's gotten a lot of hate. No touchdown passes. I saw some stat that said there's been 38 different players who have thrown a touchdown since Eli Manning threw one, and one of them was Golden Tate, wide receiver for the Seahawks. I think all of that really led to Eli Manning really resiling himself, and he's really looked good tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, top 10, and he's going to get it done. The Giants are too good of a team on defense to really stay down too long, and it's just a matter of time before they start clicking. And once they do, teams like Green Bay, Green Bay is a great passing attack, a great offense, but they remind me of the Oregon Ducks, Trey, when they're matched against a team with some power up front, the front seven, they just seem to crumble and just go in reverse. So the Green Bay Packers, is that a good analogy, talking about the Oregon Ducks with them?
Well, I don't know if the Ducks are a good analogy, but they're definitely a one-sided team. I mean, the problem they have is they can't make you honest by running the football down your throat. It also hurts them when they have leads because they're not able to run the football in the second half and eat clock and beat down that front seven of a team and tire them out. Where when you're playing the Packers, if you're tired out, it's just because you're tired from rushing the passer so much and not tired from getting beat up the whole game, which is entirely different. So, that's the problem the Packers are having. I think a lot of teams figured out the passing attack from last season when they were able to watch all that film on them from last year. So the Packers are going to have to find a different way to win football games because they're not going to be able to out-throw everyone in the NFL this year.
Exactly, and that's our top five games, man. And that was a good job of the games, Trey. They were very tough. I mean, I got lucky this week, honestly. I know I did because these pro games, anytime you start getting into November in the college and pros, they start getting tougher and tougher to pick. So luckily I could pick them. And, Trey, while we're going into college football, I believe we have a caller on the line. You're on Weigh In Sports. Who's this?
It's David.
Big E, is that you?
Big E.
What's going on, man?
Oh, I just going to call and see what y'all was talking about. Going to call and see Quinn today. Called in. Huh?
Quinn gave me a message to you. He wanted me to tell you.
You going to do something or just stand there and bleed?
I didn't understand what that was, but
that was Tombstone. That was Wyatt Earp saying, "Are you going to do something or stand there and bleed?" That's what Quinn wanted me to ask you.
Yeah, well, they'll be bleeding all right. I don't think it'll be Alabama or Georgia, but there'll be some bleeding going on.
So what's up? How about your Pittsburgh Steelers today with 8 turnovers, man? What happened?
Well, you got Charlie Batch playing quarterback, and he's, 59 years old?
He's 69 years old.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's your answer for that. Enough said, right? You got a quarterback that moves around on a walker in the pocket. It's kind of tough to win. Nah, Steelers are terrible. I think the whole NFL is terrible, to be honest with you. I can't sell out on the Falcons, even though they're 10-1, because they can't seem to win a playoff game, even when they are best record in football. Nobody really stands out. I think Harbaugh's selling out Alex Smith. I think that's going to come back to haunt him, because if I was Alex Smith, I'd be wanting to trade, or I'd be asking for my walking papers at the end of the season. If I was healthy enough to play today, I wouldn't stick around for that kind of nonsense. You play the best man. You don't do it to motivate. I heard you say he was trying to motivate him, make him appreciate it. No, it's a bunch of crap. Colin Kaepernick's a rookie. He'll show his true colors before the season's over with, either during the regular season or in the playoffs, one way or the other. You know what I think about rookie quarterbacks. They don't prove anything to me until they've done it for 2 or 3 years. Alex Smith paid his dues, and he's probably the best quarterback in my mind. And I think that's absolutely a gutless thing that Harbaugh done by not starting him today, if he was healthy. I don't know if he's healthy or not. So.
Well, he was. Cowboys, he was probable, and he was actually ready to go, Trey, right? He was actually listed as probable.
Well, he was dressing on the sidelines, so.
Yeah, he was wearing his helmet. Yeah, he was wearing his helmet. But Kaepernick isn't a rookie. He's a second-year player, but.
Whatever. He played how many games last year, though? You know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about years. I'm talking about experience. Preseason don't count.
Yeah, I get it.
Steelers are terrible. Even though I love them, they're terrible. Mainly because they're beat up, injured. Dallas is terrible. Philadelphia's terrible. Andy Reid's probably going to be fired, which, I could care less. I'm not an NFC East guy, so. The Giants are probably going to end up winning that division with probably a 9-7, 10-6 record, or, maybe 11-5. But, I can't even sit down and watch. I turned the Falcons on today and couldn't even sit down and watch the whole game because it was terrible.
Yeah, it was just a bad day for football in general, Big E. But we're about to move to college football right quick. Before we bring our guest on, Big E, anything you want to say before we go?
Yeah, big Alabama fan as I am, Georgia scares me. Alabama and Georgia are real, real similar when you look at them. Both quarterbacks are I like our quarterback better because he's been in bigger games. But Murray's talented. They both run the football, both play good defense. So, Georgia scares me. I'm more scared of Georgia than I am Notre Dame. Let's put it that way. I've listened to people talk about how Notre Dame stopped the run. Well, stop the run in the SEC, and then you'll prove it to me. And that's what I'm gonna say about that. You've stopped Pittsburgh. Well, Pittsburgh's running back ran for 175 yards against them.
He did.
You can talk about how everybody can say how tough Notre Dame's schedule was, and it's just it's a cardboard cutout of a SEC season. Is all it is. It's got a bunch of smoke and mirrors making it look good. Give me a break. Oregon put up 59 on USC, and Notre Dame can't put up 30. That's. Whoever wins the SEC should win it all. And I would take Florida. If they were in it, I'd take Florida, LSU, any of those teams against Notre Dame any day of the week. Any day of the week.
So, Everett, is it a good thing for college football that we don't have, say, an Alabama or Georgia versus Florida game rather than a Alabama-Notre Dame matchup?
Well, if you actually took it the way it was, you talking about the 14 playoff thing?
Yeah.
If you took the 14 playoff, you'd have Florida going against Notre Dame first off, and Alabama and Georgia would be squaring off. But the sad part about that is it wouldn't happen because you'd end up with Oregon moving up, taking the place of Alabama or Georgia, whoever loses that game. So you'd still have two teams in it, in the top four, and you'd have Alabama or Georgia squaring off against Oregon and Well, no, I take that back. You would have Alabama and Georgia, or Georgia squaring off against Florida, and Oregon against Notre Dame, which would probably end up giving you a Oregon and whoever from the SEC final.
Hey, Everett, hold on a minute. We have Quinn on the line. He's wanting to talk. What's up, Quinn? How's it going, bud?
All I can say is homerism at its finest. Oh, I take any of these teams over these. Everett, you like facts? You want me to bring up facts?
Yeah, bring them up.
Get them, Quinn.
Bring them up. Who won the last six national championships? Are you a fact? Who's won the last six?
What?
How long has it been since Notre Dame's been in a championship game? And who'd they beat? They beat Navy. Ooh, tough one. They beat Pitt in overtime. Ooh, that's another tough one. USC, they scored 22 points on, who gave up
59
to Oregon.
You want to know how many bowl eligible teams they beat? 9 to Alabama's 5. You want to trash talk? Well, then back it up with some facts, and that's facts right there, buddy.
Alabama's playing the SEC. Notre Dame's playing a pity pat schedule where they play powder puff football.
But who has more bowl eligible teams?
What are you talking about? Notre Dame don't even play in a conference, you nut.
Hold on, guys.
Okay.
I gotta moderate this
best.
For a second. Quinn.
Yeah,
hold on.
One at a time, guys.
Biggie, you talking about a schedule? Notre Dame will have played a tougher strength of schedule than Notre Dame will play a tougher strength of schedule this year than Alabama will. So
okay,
what do you say?
According to who?
According to everyone who ranks strength of schedule and in football. So everyone.
Okay. So playing Navy is better than playing Mississippi State
than playing Vanderbilt and Auburn this year. Yeah, it is.
Navy's 8-4.
Yeah, Navy's 8-4. Let them play Vandy.
8-4. Vandy's 8-4, Trey.
Let them play Vandy. Let Navy play Vandy and see what happens.
All right, Quinn, I'm going to start this conversation with y'all. We're going to do one at a time so people in the chat room are listening, just so we don't have any talking over. So, Quinn, why do you think Notre Dame deserves to be in there and stands a chance against anybody else?
Why do I think they deserve? Well, they went 12-0 with a pretty good schedule. I mean, Everett's acting like their schedule was a very bad schedule. Last time I checked, Notre Dame didn't play any FCS schools.
But honestly, to the defense of that, when I hear people say that, there's really no difference than playing, you know, Western Carolina than there is really Purdue or, you know, your lower-tier conference teams and other conferences. So I don't like that argument when people bring it up because
Purdue would cream Western Carolina.
Well, it's not the point, but I mean whether Purdue or Western Carolina plays Bama, it's still going to be the same result. But I mean, teams play smaller teams. When you play week in and week out, and you take a pounding, I think that's the excuse the SEC uses. You know, that's an excuse that Trey doesn't like that reason either, but I see the points you're making, Quinn, but really looking at your schedule, I am impressed that you went 12-0. Anytime you can go undefeated, but Boise went undefeated too before, you know. I mean, it's not saying a lot because some of the losses that I saw are the wins, like Purdue, barely getting them, I believe, the Stanford game, the questionable call, and then the Pittsburgh game coming back from two or three touchdowns. I think that's what Everett's trying to say. Everett, tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, they beat Pitt with a phantom interference call, too, by the way. They don't win that game without that bogus pass interference call for the score that tied the game up. Am I wrong?
You're right.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you think, Brian, do you think that Notre Dame could have come off an LSU game? The physical game that Alabama and LSU played. Les Miles and Nick Saban both said it was the most hard-hitting college football game they'd ever seen. You turn around and play 6 days later and have to turn around and play a Texas A&M team with a quarterback that's very hard to catch. He's very athletic. And if you've ever walked on a football field before and played a physical football game, you know how long it takes to get over that kind of physical beating that you have to go through. So, you know, just think about the stretch that South Carolina had to go through.
Is this what I'm going to have to hear for the next month?
No, you won't hear it.
Am I going to have to hear it from everybody? Because I think I am, but I'm fine with it. But if Notre Dame ends up...
Hold on. You won't have to hear it from me anymore.
Everett, you want to make a bet?
If you want to. I'd hate to take your money, though.
No, not a money bet.
Okay, what are you wanting to bet?
Where?
All right, Quinn. What is it, Quinn? We got to move on. What do you want to bet?
Where you have to come on the show and admit you're wrong after the national championship if Notre Dame ends up winning. And I'll be wrong if Georgia or Alabama ends up winning.
Brian, how well do you know me?
Pretty good.
Have I ever not admitted if I was wrong?
Nope, he will, Quinn. Everett will get on here and admit he's wrong
Brian, how often am I wrong about college football?
Probably about as much as I am, about once every blue moon, right?
Exactly.
But if I'm wrong,
I'll come on the show and admit it. If Notre Dame beats an SEC team for the national title, I'll give credit where it's due. But I just don't see it happening. So I mean, you know. But if it happens, I'll come on and admit them though.
All right. Well, Everett and Quinn, thanks for the call, man. We're going to have to move on due to time, and we've had some fun with that call, Trey. Going through the BCS standings, we've noticed, again, I believe six SEC teams are in the top 10. And I put my poll out earlier, Trey, and I put Notre Dame, just the eye test poll. Now, this is a test just to put it out there, just what I've seen. I put Notre Dame at number 5. And I'm not taking anything away from their wins. I'm just looking at what they do on the field. I think a lot of teams in the top 10 could beat Notre Dame, Trey.
Yeah, and I think that's a little ridiculous. I think Notre Dame has played a tougher schedule than a lot of folks in the SEC have, including Alabama, including Georgia. And they're not giving their due, I think, is a little ridiculous. I'm as big a Notre Dame hater, and you and I was on the bandwagon with you, thinking Notre Dame was going to lose a lot of the games they played in. But they won them, and they won them ugly, but they're not the first team who has gotten to the national championship game by winning games ugly. You can go back and look at a lot of national championship winners who've won games very closely. I mean, Auburn had its fair share of close wins as well, and so did, remember, Ohio State from a few years ago as well, and they all won a lot of ugly games with the fair business in the national championship game. So I think Notre Dame could beat any of the teams they can face, including Alabama and Georgia, absolutely.
Well, they could. I mean, anybody can beat anybody, but I'm saying, in my opinion, if you took the top 5 teams right now and you took, you know, Bama, Georgia, Florida, and Oregon, just take those 4 teams, I think if you played those Notre Dame against those teams 5 times each, I think that, honestly, I think at least, and I'm just being honest, 4 out of 5, every one of them beats Notre Dame. And I'm just seeing what I see on the field. I think Oregon would beat Notre Dame by 3 touchdowns, honestly, at least. I think Oregon would be a more attractive play in a national title game than Notre Dame would. I know people love Notre Dame and they draw a lot of tickets. This is just what I'm seeing. I'm not saying Notre Dame doesn't deserve to play for the championship because they're 12-0. They played a pretty good schedule, and I think they deserve to play in it. I'm just looking at the eye test, Trey, and seeing what I see when I look at football. I mean, there's a reason why Georgia, you know, and Bama will be favored over Notre Dame. Notre Dame's the number 1 team, Trey, but that really doesn't matter.
No, and the eye test is a fancy way of saying that you're biased against a certain thing. The eye test is a reason why the computers have replaced that, and that's because, basically, you know, the eye test didn't work. So, you know, Notre Dame deserves where they are. They deserve a lot of credit. I'll tell you, do I think if Alabama plays them in the national championship game, I think they're gonna. I think Alabama's gonna beat them. That doesn't mean that I think that they're not the best team to play Alabama this year. I think they are, and they earned it. But you know, Nick Saban prepping for a month is never a good thing.
I guess, Trey, what I can't get over, and I'm not taking anything away from Notre Dame. They deserve to be there. They won it on the field. But what I can't get over is the way they won some of these games against them. I'm talking about weak competition. I'm talking about some teams that, heck, we might beat. I mean, it's like you can't just barely beat the bottom feeders of the Big Ten and flex your muscle when you come back and the rest are in your back pocket. That's all I'm saying. They won the games fair and square. And I'm not a Notre Dame hater. I'm not a Notre Dame lover either. But they deserve to be there because they're the only undefeated team. And I'm just saying there's other matchups that are a lot more attractive. This is going to be a snoozer, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, whether the game's competitive, I mean, all the national championships have not been. I mean, remember when Florida got beat 63-10 by Nebraska? I mean, that wasn't a very competitive national championship game either. But I think it's going to sell out. It's going to get huge ratings. I mean, whether it's competitive in the second half, I mean, none of us know at this point.
Yes, exactly. And I'm going to bring 662 area code in real quick, Trey. I think it's Jonathan. You're on Way In Sports.
What's up, Brian? This is Drew, man.
Hey, Drew. What's going on, bud?
Not much, dude. About this whole Notre Dame thing, like, I really don't care about Notre Dame. Everybody knows they're really not that good. They're undefeated, and they're there. They've worked their butt off to go play against Alabama or Georgia and get beat. That's just all there is to it. They should have lost to Stanford. I mean, they're not dominating anybody. I can look in the top 10 right now and hand you 9 teams that could beat them. In a one game, they could beat them. Texas A&M could beat them. Oregon would stomp them. Alabama's going to throttle them. Florida could beat them. Anybody. I mean, they're not. Dude, they're not a top. I mean, they're undefeated, and they just kind of walk right into the number one spot. But they're not the best team in the country, and anybody who thinks they are, you're an idiot. That's just plain and simple. They're not a good football team. They're not a great football team. They haven't played anybody. This strength and schedule bullshit. They don't play top 10 teams. You know,
Thank you so much. Thank you for speaking some sense on this station, man. I really appreciate it.
The thing is, man, if you look at it, like, who did they really play? They played Stanford, and they should have lost the game. But yet, the running back was never down. Is, you know, it was a bad call, and should have lost to Stanford. Nobody is looking at Notre Dame and thinking, wow, this guy, they're going to win the national championship. Anybody who is has never seen real football. And I tell you, here in the Southeast, we have connoisseurs of fine football playing. We do. We've seen straight national championships. We know what a championship caliber team looks like. And if you think Notre Dame is, well, send me after the national championship game. Tell me how much you believe in them. Because I don't like Alabama. I don't like Georgia. But I think, well, if I was a betting man, my money would be on them no matter what. I mean, back when they have a 42-point spread, I'd still put my money on them all day, every day. There's just no way that Notre Dame wins this game. There's absolutely none. Like, they shouldn't even play it. What they should do, if they want to save time at the end of the SEC championship, just bring that crystal ball out, hand it to Mark Richt or Nick Saban, and let's just call it a day. But now, on the better news, who's going to replace Gene Chizik at Auburn? That's what I want to know. What's your thoughts?
Well, honestly, I think Bobby Petrino will replace. That's what I'm hearing. But, man, honestly, I've heard so many names and I've gone through so many scenarios. I have no idea in my mind who's going to replace him. I just want it to be a good coach.
It's funny. You know, me and you, average fans, we have, you know, I have the 24/7, and everybody has their sources, and they keep naming these names. And I'm like, you know, dude, if I was Jay Jacobs, I would just look at him like, you know what, I can't do my job. Auburn is terrible right now. Football, that's your moneymaker, is garbage. And basketball, garbage. Baseball, garbage. I mean, women's basketball and swimming's pretty good, but can't really pay the bills with that kind of stuff. you know, it's kind of like living in a mansion and having a job as a bag boy. Just shit's going to run out of luck for too long. But, you know, if I was Jay Jacobs, the one person I would go to, the very first, Sean Payton. How do you not go talk to Sean Payton? People say, well, he's not going to go to college. He's not going to, you know, leave New Orleans. Dude, I'm telling you, coaches, they have no loyalty. None of them. They all say they do. The reason why Nick Saban has loyalty is because he's getting paid $6 million a year. That's his loyalty. That's it. You know, and and people talking about Auburn having NCAA violations, well, if they do, then they are idiots for firing Gene Chizik right now and paying him the $11 million or $7, whatever it is, you know. If there's anything going down at Auburn that's going to be bad, you know, as far as an NCAA violation, then term of his clause or clause in his contract is, if that does happen, they can fire him with the clause, don't have to pay him jack shit. So that just leaves me to believe nothing going on with that. So I think go after the biggest name coach you can. If you want to compete with Alabama and you want to win national championships and you want to run Saban out of town, which is going to be really hard to do. It can be done. It's going to be really hard to do. You're going to have to hire somebody, somebody who can come in and just straight dominate.
Yes, yeah, you're right, and you brought up some great points with us tonight, man. And keep in touch, man. Stay on the show. Stay listening and call in anytime. We really do appreciate your call, man. And that was a great call. We're going to go to the lines real quick. 256 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hey, Brian. This is Marty. How's it going?
Oh, good. Marty, what's up, bud?
I'm just sitting here listening to the good radio show tonight. And I just got a couple of comments on this Alabama or Georgia Notre Dame game.
Okay.
I do respect Notre Dame. I do. If you look at it on paper, they do have a respectable schedule they went through if it was 10 years ago. Those teams they're playing had a meaning 10 years ago. Now they don't. And you look at what Alabama does on their schedule. You know, and one thing that really bothers me about Notre Dame is they get to cherry-pick their schedule through the years. When you're in a conference, you have to play at least 8 conference games. And probably in the next year or so, it's going to be, you're going to have to play 9 conference games. So you don't get to really cherry-pick your schedule. They get Alabama or Auburn or Georgia or all of them get, you know, people come against them because they have to play Western Carolina and stuff like that. But, you know, the SEC is, and I don't guess people outside the conference realize how brutal the SEC is game in and game out. It's the most competitive conference in college football. And you cannot just play one SEC game right after another, right after another, and expect to keep your players on the field, you know. So, you know, I get tired of hearing people talk about, well, they played this, they played that. They play like, what, 2 or 3 games throughout the year that they have to use those to fill in space, you know. But that's one bad thing I have against Notre Dame. They don't play in a conference. They don't have to play a conference championship in the game at the end of the year. So, you know, they're not taking a chance, if they do go undefeated, of losing that conference game. So what do you think about it, Brian and Trey?
Trey? Is Trey there?
Sorry, I was in the chat room there. I missed the question.
I'll take it. I just think you're right, Marty, about it's a lot more difficult when you play in a conference because, like you said, you're not handpicking your teams you're playing, and you can kind of see when someone's up or down a little bit more if you're Notre Dame, where if you're in a Big 12 or Pac-12 or SEC, you're going to have to play these teams regardless whether they're up or down. And that's the tricky thing, Marty, is you never know when you're going to be, you know, playing a weak schedule or a very strong schedule in the SEC. Look at Texas A&M. They came in this year. Nobody gave them a chance, and look how good they are. So you're right. I think that's a big benefit Notre Dame has. And, Marty, I don't think Notre Dame's ever going to join a conference now. Do you?
Unless something changes. You know, I'm kind of like Nick Saban agrees that we need to go to the 6 conference game or 6 conferences and, you know, and do the real playoffs the real way where all this crap will just come to an end about schedule strength and all that. It'll just be one on the field, you know, until you have independence like – Notre Dame that just wants to go out there and make their schedule how they want to. And I do agree their schedule looks good on paper, but if you really break it down, it's not that great a schedule this year as it might have been at the first of the year. But, you know, again, Purdue and all those people, were all that Michigan State and all those, was Michigan was good 10 years ago. They're not now.
Yeah, you're right. The Purdue's, Notre Dame, or the Michigan State, I mean, And Trey, that's where you and I differ. I mean, that's what I look at is Notre Dame. If you look at it on paper, they do look like, wow, they play some good opponents. But if you dig that a little deeper, you can't reward them any more than you can, say, South Carolina, Florida, Oregon. I mean, Oregon played just as tough a schedule in my mind than Notre Dame has, Trey.
Well, I mean, like I said, this doesn't bear out. When you're talking about on paper, yeah, if you're talking about because they didn't play an SEC team who was maybe that's what you're referring to, but there's a reason why. I mean, the people who come up with strength of schedule have said their schedule was just as tough as Alabama's. I mean, because they played about the same number of opponents, especially, I mean, Notre Dame played two top 10 opponents.
Yeah. Well, Marty, man, I appreciate you calling in, and we're going to start breaking down the games, you know, Wednesday night for next week, and then we're going to do our bowls when they're announced. So we'd love to have you back on to pick them with us, but thanks for the call. And, Trey, well, I just want to remind everyone that calls in that watch your language, please. We just want to make sure that there's not much cussing going on. There's some kids listening, too. You never know who's out there listening. We want to be a rated PG show, right, Trey?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just please mind that. We had that one caller who dropped some bombs there, and I think you guys in the chat room caught it. So thanks for bringing that up and make sure we're on our toes there. We do want to make sure that this is kid-friendly, so people can listen on their computers and their radios, and, you know, it's okay if kids are listening.
Yeah, Tino said his son listens and calls, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm about to start cussing on this show right now, so cover your ears, everybody. It's coming. So, Trey, the 77-62 Patrick was bringing up, is that the record of Notre Dame's opponent?
79-62, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's average. That's not great, but, I mean, Notre Dame deserves to be there. I mean, bottom line, I'm not saying they don't, guys. I'm not saying they don't deserve to be there. So, Trey, take us with their number 10. We have some great games this weekend, man, some great football games, rivalry week. So start us with number 10, and let's work our way down to 1.
Number 10 was the shocker down in the desert, Arizona State at Arizona, and Arizona State went in and actually beat Arizona. I think you picked this game correctly. This was a toss-up. I think I flipped a coin and lost it.
Yep, in this game, like I said, you do have to flip a coin when you're watching Arizona State. These guys hate each other, and they know each other, and they would like nothing more to ruin the season. Arizona's at home, the ranked team with the number one running back in the country on their team, and they just fell short in the fourth quarter. So I'm glad I picked Arizona State.
Yeah, and that's, you know, good game down the desert. It was a competitive game. That'll move us on to our next game, Tarvin, which was the Notre Dame game. And, you know, one thing you got to give Notre Dame credit, in a rivalry game where a lot of people were picking them to lose, they went and handled their business with basically, you know, you and I talked about the bullseye on their back. I mean, no bullseye was greater than playing basically, you know, one win and you're in for a national championship game. And they went out and handled their business. And so here's the question we haven't talked about is, did Manti Te'o, with his performance and that interception, that big interception, did he solidify or at least get his name up there for a Heisman Trophy?
I hope not. I mean, if you get an interception and that gets you a Heisman Trophy, then there's something wrong. But what really seemed to me is the USC fans were mostly pulling for Notre Dame to win just so you wouldn't have an SEC championship game, which is garbage. And the play calling by Lane Kiffin at the end of that game was atrocious. And honestly, we're going to get off point in a minute. I think Lane Kiffin loses his job at SC, Trey, just for the job he did this year, but especially last night with some of the bonehead play calls. But Teo's a great player, but, I mean, he's not a Heisman Trophy winner. Let's get real. If we put him as Heisman Trophy winner, we just don't have a Heisman Trophy, really. We're just looking for somebody to fill it. I think Johnny Football at Texas A&M deserves a Heisman as a freshman.
I'm not so sure that's true. I mean, Johnny Football has played well. He deserves to be in the consideration. But to say that he's walked away with it, I don't think is accurate. I mean, you got to look at, you know, we talked about this all throughout the season is, you know, how do you play in your losses? And Johnny Football had no touchdowns and three picks, I think, in the two losses they had. So, you know, that kind of stat's going to hurt him. I think it's going to come down to, I think you look at Manti Te'o and what he's meant for his team, and if you look at the actual criteria that the voters actually vote on,
then, yeah, a defensive player like Monte Teo can actually do very well in the voting because, you know, it comes down to, you know, a lot of criteria, which is kind of hard to pinpoint with stats. But, you know, to me, I don't think this is a year where you have a player who has really, I guess, run away with the Heisman. I think you have a lot of very average Heisman candidates, and this will be probably a very split vote.
Yeah, I look at Varner at Oregon, even though they lost the game, and I'm tired of the Heisman Trophy being for the undefeated team. That has nothing to do with it. It's supposed to be the most outstanding player in the country, and it shouldn't be limited to a freshman. If it is, they need to put it in the rules of what it takes to win a Heisman. So the most outstanding player to me this year is Johnny Manziel, a freshman that came to Texas A&M in the SEC and actually went on the road and beat Alabama, the defending champion. But he's carved up so many defenses this year that I don't see any way you cannot give it to this kid. He broke Cam Newton's record in 12 games, where it took 14 for Cam. He did it in 12. So this kid is amazing, and he's the real deal, man.
He's good. I'm not saying I would exclude him because he's a freshman. I don't think that's a good criteria either. I think, you know, a lot of people thought sophomores shouldn't win it for a number of years, and I think, you know, it was like 6 of 8 winning or some crazy stat went like that. I think Manziel is going to be at the Heisman Trophy. I think he has a shot to win it. But, you know, you still have Klein who plays this weekend. He's the only Heisman Trophy guy who plays this weekend. So he'll have his shot to get himself back on the national stage. I really do think this is going to be one of those seasons where you have, you know, even maybe Marquise Lee at USC may get a first-place vote. So you may get a lot of players who get first-place votes, and it'll be interesting to see how the vote really plays out for the Heisman race. But I just don't think there's any breakaway winner. I think there's a lot of very average candidates this year.
Well, you know Klein, Optimus Klein, Trey. He had that one bad game against Baylor. Do you think that had anything to do with his concussion lingering?
I think it's very possible. I mean, the fact that he had an injury to the head and then all, the next game he shows up pretty, you know, remember that we all talked about, you know, was he going to play, you know, and then all of a sudden he plays and he just looks terrible, doesn't like himself. We'll have to see. If he comes out against Texas and just destroys it, he's going to put himself right back up there. I think right now Manziel probably is your leader right now. But, I mean, there's no way to say that he's the absolute winner. So we'll see if Klein can get some votes this weekend. And then, you know, who knows, Tarvin? Really, who knows? I mean, what if A.J. McCarron throws for 400 yards? Does he get himself back in? I mean, you just never know. This is a Heisman Trophy, which is going to be even hard to pick the five who are going to be in the finalist.
Yes, and let's think about this. It seems like every year that this weekend coming up, the championship weekend, is the weekend the Heisman Trophy is won. And it's because, I mean, you're fresh on the mind. Just like you said, what if A.J. McCarron comes in and throws 400 or 500 yards and blows Georgia out? All these voters are going to look at it and say, wow, he's the best player in the country. Just like Klein, if he plays Texas and blows them out, looks great, just like RG3 did, I mean, he's going to get it. So there's Oregon plays, Oregon season is over now, I believe. But I just think it could be one this week. But I think Optimus Klein, A.J. McCarron. I mean, heck, you could even have somebody like Aaron Murray, Trey, come in for Georgia. Imagine if he carved up the Alabama defense. Would he get a dinner and end the conversation, Trey?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, this could be where, you know, like I said, the quarterback of the SEC championship game with a great game could not only get to the dinner, but could get themselves in the running to win it because it is a open race and because it is, where, say I'm a voter, Tarvin, if I'm sitting here voting, right now I don't know who I'd vote for. My vote could still be won, and I think a lot of people, and if you follow a lot of these writers who actually vote on this, and a lot of the Heisman Trophy guys who actually vote on this, you're talking about a lot of different names. At least you're a lot of names still coming up. So that tells me this is going to be a really split vote, and a lot of people are still thinking about who they're going to vote for. So you're right, it could be this weekend where someone wins the vote.
And I have a question just real quick. If you took Teo off of Notre Dame, Dre, what would their record be?
Well, they lose 3 games easily, at least three, maybe 4.
Exactly. If you took, Johnny Football off of Texas A&M, what would their record be?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, you know, teams, they change the nature of their game. I mean, Klein, I mean, without K-State, I mean, would they even go to a bowl?
Nope. I don't think so. I think you're exactly right. And I think that's what I look at. Like, A.J. McCarron, to me, if you take A.J. McCarron off of Alabama, I don't think there's much difference this year in what they've done in a way. I mean, they might be one game, but you take somebody like Johnny Football away from their team, and Texas A&M's a 6-6 football team probably, maybe 7-5. Their offense is good, but that's just what we're talking about. But, Trey, what do you think about Kiffin play calling, since we're going back to our game? What do you think about deciding to kick a, or not to kick a field goal when you're down by 9 points? And not only that, what do you think about the play calling on that fourth down, throwing it to a freshman fullback?
Yeah, well, I always have questioned Kiffin's actual coaching ability. I mean, he's a great recruiter. I mean, some of the calls, I mean, you can go through all of his losses this year and you scratch your head at times. I mean, this game was no different. And I'm just curious what USC fans, I wonder how much the pressure is going to build on Kiffin, especially if they went to the bowl game this year and lose. So you got to wonder, because, I mean, USC is the kind of program that really could pull down a lot of people. I mean, they can pull down talent at a coaching position because of the amount of money and talent that flow through USC. So you got to wonder why they would stick with Kiffin, who just doesn't seem to be able to win big games and seems to lose a lot more than they should. I mean, they were number one team in the country losing this many games. I think the last time it happened was, what, in the 50s, Ole Miss or something? And this doesn't happen to a team that gets this many votes in the start of the season. So, you know, if you're USC and you're one of those people who make the decision, Parvin, I mean, I pull the plug on Kiffin.
Yeah, and I said when he was hired, and I believe we talked about this a while back, he was hired to really stop the bleeding maybe and to make sure those recruits stayed after the probation and the Pete Carroll left. But now look at it. You're Southern Cal. You have some of the best talent in the country, you know, to choose from. You can get anybody you want. But as long as Lane Kiffin is there, he's always going to be a 7-5 coach, Trey, with that much talent. There's no excuse for Lane Kiffin not being undefeated this year, honestly, with the talent he has. But, you know, his dad's so old, he can't even see down to the field to call defense. So I think you're right. But here's a question. Who's a candidate to replace him? I mean, I think that's a very attractive job.
I mean, that's one of those positions that you really could start thinking about NFL coaches coming down, actually, who may get fired or may actually take a job to come to USC. I mean, it's that kind of position. I mean, they really do. I mean, I really did think when they hired Lane Kiffin that they probably shot themselves short. Because USC, it is the premier coaching job. That if it came open, they'd have the number one pick of their coach, so to speak.
Yep. I mean, you know, Auburn, and then like you said right now, it's not a good job. I disagree, but I look at Southern Cal. It is a great job. I mean, the location, the quarterbacks you can get. I mean, it's just like Southern California. They're not dead just yet. And I think before they do. If you see Kiffin, Trey, stay one more year, I really believe the bottom's going to fall out of this program. And also, he's a cheating coach. I mean, he's cheated at Tennessee. Now they're getting in more trouble because of what he did. And you know, the longer he's there at Southern Cal, the more he's going to cheat. This is a guy that deflated balls during the Oregon game just to get an advantage.
Yeah, I got some impact in because, I mean, could you imagine if they would pull, you know, one of these, I mean, what if Andy Reid gets fired and they pull Andy Reid? Yeah, they could pull Andy Reid. I mean, that's the kind of coaching this is. And, you know, I mean, so I get rid of Kiffin now and just hope for something like that because they obviously can pick who they want. And, you know, 7-5, and you were supposed to win the national championship, number one in the country to start the season off. I mean, there's a lot of teams that can talk about being disappointed this year, but no one can be more disappointed than USC.
Exactly. So, I was a little surprised at this game, honestly. I picked Southern Cal to beat Notre Dame. And I have a question, Trey. If Matt Barkley played that game, do you think Notre Dame wins?
You know, actually, I don't think it would have mattered. I think the way USC played it on our offensive as a whole, you know, I obviously Whittick made a couple of mistakes, but it's not like Barkley's been perfect this year, so – I think that they still lose the game. I mean, maybe it would have been a little bit closer. Maybe it would have been instead of 9-6, but I still think they lose.
Yeah, I disagree with you there. I think Southern Cal wins that game at home. I think they have enough offense with Matt Barkley to get it done. And one thing Notre Dame hasn't impressed me with this year is that offense. So I'm against you on that one. I could be wrong. You could be wrong. Who knows? But take us on to our next game, sir.
Well, our next game was the Georgia Tech-Georgia game. I don't know that we need to talk about this game much. I mean, Georgia went out and just handled business. This is one of four losses the ACC had against the SEC this weekend, which just shows you how weak the ACC is still. But Georgia destroyed Georgia Tech.
Exactly. So that's all. The Dogs didn't overlook Georgia Tech. I thought it would be closer than what it is. I think Georgia to win, but I thought Georgia Tech could come in there and give them a game. They didn't, so let's move on.
Moving on to this was the Michigan-Ohio State game. Again, another team that a lot of people thought were going to lose this game, including myself. I thought Michigan would pull this out. I think you picked Ohio State in the game. But let me ask you this. Now that Ohio State's won this game, and I heard a lot of talk about this weekend after the win, if Notre Dame does lose the national championship, do you think that the AP will split the national championship and actually give Ohio State an AP national championship?
If you want to keep your integrity of your poll, you don't. I think no way. I think if Ohio State was undefeated right now, I mean, not on probation right now, I don't think they make this game, Trey. I think that's the way I look at it. And Ohio State's on probation, so you're telling me the AP, if they did vote Ohio State number one, I would be very surprised, especially over an SEC team that just beat them. So the history of it would be seven in a row for the SEC, I think not, Trey.
Yeah, I would be really shocked if they voted Ohio State in because of the probation. But I guess the question is out there with some AP voters, I guess, and it's come up enough where people are talking about it. So that's something for a different show. But just to preview, if the SEC does win with a one-loss team, obviously they're the BCS crown, but then the question will become is, does the AP vote them into the national championship or do they move Ohio State up there? I would be shocked if that happens, but at the same point, I do believe that it would violate the integrity of the poll when you have a team on probation, but it could happen.
Yeah, but Ohio State, Trey, do you think they would get into this game if they were not on probation?
It's hard to say because, it seemed like Ohio State really rallied around this whole undefeated season for probation. If they weren't on probation, who knows if the season would have been different for them. But I think if you look at the BCS numbers, Tarvin, they may actually be – they're going to either be two or three based on the projections. Where they were or so, but I don't know how the season would have turned out had they not been on probation.
I look at their out-of-conference schedule, and people talk about, Alabama's
terrible.
Or whoever's. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, these guys are like Florida. They don't go out of their state, really, to play anybody, and that's where I draw the line with Ohio State. They're a good football team. Are they great? No. I mean, they play a weak schedule and a weak conference, and they're undefeated. But Notre Dame, I respect them more because they did play tougher competition. They beat Oklahoma on the road. They beat Stanford. And they went to Southern Cal and beat them, which I know they're down, but it's still a tough place to play and to win. I have another question for you real quick, Trey, about this game coming up this weekend. What if Georgia beats Alabama, but Georgia looks so bad in this win that both teams do? Do you think there's any shot whatsoever that a Florida or Oregon could come up ahead of those? Like if Georgia beat Alabama and it was so bad that you said, wow, I can't believe they're going into a championship game. Do you think Florida could pass them?
I think Florida has the only shot to do that. I've heard people talking about Oregon, but the Oregon has absolutely no shot because of their computer rankings and their schedule to jump any team who wins this game. So if Georgia wins this game, the only team that really does have a shot is Florida. Now, then you're going to get the whole debate of the whole head-to-head game, but because of Florida's strength of schedule, which is, I think, around 15th or 10th, depending on how much they gain with the Florida State game, because they're going to bump up, actually, and then the new strength of schedule hasn't come out from this weekend, but, Florida is the only team that has a shot because they're number two in almost every single computer poll.
Yes, and you know what? They've beaten four teams that are in the top 10, I believe, or top 12, something like that. So that's pretty good, Trey. When you have a resume like that, and with one loss, you always put yourself at risk. Even though Georgia wins, if it's something ugly or it's a controversial call that beat Alabama and everybody watching knows that Georgia didn't deserve to be there, then you never know what can happen. All it takes is those voters waking up in the morning, changing their mind, man. It could happen. Crazier things have happened.
Yeah, I mean, in Florida, there's still an outside shot, but no other team other than the two teams are in the SEC championship game other than Florida has a shot to play Notre Dame.
Exactly. So, well, take us on, buddy. Take us on.
Well, our next game was the Oklahoma State-Oklahoma game, which was a huge shootout. But Oklahoma actually maintained it and actually came back and won the game. Tarvin, this game was I was surprised it was this high scoring, but it was very entertaining.
I wonder what these guys do in practice when it comes to defense. You think they sit around smoking cigarettes watching the offense play? I don't know, because I've watched some of this, and I was just, like, amazed that if these defenses are that bad, or are the offenses that good, Trey?
I think it's a little both. I mean, I don't know that. I mean, Landry Jones is the type of quarterback, you know, who, you know, this guy was supposed to be at one point the number one pick overall. I mean, he's supposed to have that kind of talent. I've come off thinking he has that kind of talent. I don't think he does, but you know, he's a very talented quarterback. I was surprised that Oklahoma State could score that much against Oklahoma's defense, but if you watched Oklahoma's defense over the last few weeks, I mean, they've given up a lot of points. So I'm not an Oklahoma fan, so I don't know what's going on with their defense, Tarvin, but it's progressively gotten worse this year.
Yeah, I mean, going back to that Florida, Paul Ewing in the chat room, Florida's 4-1 against top 13 teams. So
yeah.
that's an amazing record. But Oklahoma, I think we both picked them to get this win, Trey. I know we both did, but you know, I wasn't impressed with Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. So, does Oklahoma get an at-large bid, Trey, in this BCS?
I don't think so. I mean, Kansas State still has to win this weekend. If not, Oklahoma gets the at-large bid anyway from their conference, their automatic bid. And I'm not, you know, this Texas game for Kansas State isn't a give me yet either. So, you know, Oklahoma may punch the automatic ticket anyway.
And see, how sad would that be that someone gets left out because Oklahoma gets to be in there? And Jonathan made a point I was about to make. If Kent State beats Northern Illinois and Stanford beats UCLA, then Kent State's going because they're going to move up ahead of UCLA. And because they're ranked higher than a conference automatic qualifier like the Big East or whoever that is, ACC maybe, they're going. So it's gonna steal, you know, Oklahoma's at large bid. What do you think about a team that got beat by Kentucky by 30 making a BCS bowl game, Trey?
I think there are times, Tarvin, where I have been a very good proponent of this rule. I think that the SEC was in Oklahoma and Alabama probably hate this rule because, you know, Boise's gotten them before. But this isn't the year for this, Tarvin. It just isn't. None of these teams are good enough to be playing in the BCS this year. None of these teams are worthy. So, to me, it's a travesty this year. Kent State should have no business playing in any kind of game that matters on a BCS stage this year. And it really does take away from the games that I'd want to watch. So, for me, I don't want to see it this year, Tarvin, and this team is not deserving.
Well, I'm going to tell you what it does. It would put Florida against Kent State, like Paul said, in the Sugar Bowl. And then that's another throwaway game is the Orange Bowl. You're going to have a Big East champion against Florida State or Georgia Tech. So there's two of the BCS bowl games that, honestly, I wouldn't even watch, to tell you the truth. I wouldn't waste my time to watch those two games unless I just was that bored. But could you imagine Kent State playing Florida in the Sugar Bowl, Trey? The beating.
It'll be so bad.
I don't know, but Lafayette almost beat Florida, though. Louisiana Lafayette almost got the Gators, so you never know.
Yeah, let me tell you, like I said, Tarvin, there are years when there has been a team outside the conference that you can look at and say, this team has the talent. Utah, Boise, you know, a couple times, we're like, this is going to be good. This isn't this team. It just isn't. I mean, they're just I've seen Kent play a couple times. They're on TV on the ESPN 8, the Ocho, or whatever they're on. I'm telling you, watch the MAC championship. They're not good. They're going to get destroyed if they get banked to BCS.
I kind of want them to. I want them to win, Trey, just to see that. In a way, that would be funny just to see them make it. So these rules are stupid. I'm with you. This is not the year that any team should sneak in and and take it out. But I'll tell you one rule I don't like is only having two teams per conference that can make that. I think sometimes it needs to be three. I think, you know, if the situation's right, I think you're taking away from conferences. Pac-12 could maybe have it, Big 12, SEC, and you're giving it to somebody like Kent State that got beat by 30 by Kentucky, Trey. I just can't get that out of my head. How do you lose 30 to the worst team in the country? I mean,
yeah, you really could blow a shot for like a Stanford, you know, to make an at-large. Who really deserves it? You know, Stanford goes out and beat UCLA again. You know, obviously they're going to make it. Excuse me, not Stanford, but I mean Oregon at large. Because you know, you're imagine Stanford punches the automatic for the Pac-12. Imagine Oregon not making the BCS. I mean, because a Kent State team does.
Man, that can be the BCS's going away party, like flipping off everybody else, saying you didn't like me, so I'm gonna give this to you now since you like your playoff so much.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I like the rule. I like the fact that, you know, it's gotten some good teams in who deserve to be there who were going to be left out, but this just isn't a year.
Hold on. Tino made a good point in the chat room. Auburn is the worst team in the country, and SEC, get it right. Wildcats are better than us. Tarbino. Tino, man, I can't disagree with that, man. I'd be a fool to sit here and disagree with you regarding that. So, Tino, you're right again. But when is that game played? When is that Kent State or when is that game played? Wednesday night or Thursday night or
I think
maybe Friday?
Yeah, it's an odd time. Yeah, it's an odd time.
Well, so keep an eye on that game because that could be very interesting and some great discussion for us. But if they get in that BCS bowl, see, I want to see Florida play Oregon in the Sugar Bowl. I think that would be the dream matchup for me to see. I would like to see Florida's speed and their defense against Oregon. I mean, I think that would be the best game of the BCS. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's the matchup that a lot of folks want to see. But we'll have to see if it's going to be Kent State. I mean, I really do. I've been watching this scenario the last couple of weeks. As you know, you're talking about the BCS busters, and they've gotten closer and closer. And Kent State, I think, had the biggest jump of any team in the BCS. I think it was like six places or something like that. So, you know, we'll see, Tarvin. We will.
We'll take us on to the next one, Trey.
Well, our next one, I don't know if you're going to talk about too much, Tarvin. That's the Auburn-Alabama game.
Trey, I'm sorry. I cut out. The Iron Bowl, man, it was a great game watching the pregame show. I had a feeling it was going to be like this. And I'm not very happy right now about this. So I don't want you to kick a man while he's down.
No, I mean, there's not much to say. It was a whipping. I think some folks want to call in, though, Tarvin, and maybe rub it in your face a little bit.
Wow. I don't like that, man. I don't want people to rub it in on me. I want to rub it in on Tino.
I know.
But I'll tell you this. Looking at the game, it was obvious. From the first, you know, I like to watch that first two series, Trey, just to see if Auburn was going to come out and throw a punch or if they were going to take one and fight back, and they didn't. I mean, Alabama won the toss, took the kick, and drove it down our throats, put it in the end zone. And Auburn, with that great scripted play they ran all week, three and out, punt. I think Alabama scored touchdowns on their first seven possessions, and then Saban decided to call the dogs off.
Well, I think the real question I have about this, I think Jonathan brought it up in the chat room, is did Tino wear his dress?
Well, I think no, because Tino gave Chris Smelly some tickets, and I think that's what happened. You know, Tino bribed his way into Chris Smelly's heart and made him forgive him for this. So Tino did not wear the skirt. He gave his tickets away. Sonia, Jason, and Chris Smelly got to go to the game. And Trey, that was Jason Minson's first SEC game he ever went to. So he's going to call in a minute to discuss. And I think Sonia's on the line now. Or Jason, how's everything going? Hey, Sonia. Jason, anybody there? Trey, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay. Some reason Sonia's not connecting. Maybe they're not ready yet. Sonia, Jason, I'll come back to you in just a minute. But looking at it, Trey, were you surprised that it was 49-0, or was that what you were expecting?
Yeah, I mean, I expected it to be out of hand. I mean, there was nothing that Auburn had shown us by that point to make me think that it wouldn't. I mean, yeah, rivalries every once in a while do just, you know, offer nothing that would be logical. But I just didn't see it this time. I mean, usually when it's that way, Tarver, when there's, you know, no logic involved, it's a 2-9 team versus a 9-2. You know, it's not the number two team in the country. It's not usually that high up. So, like I told you before the show, the real upset happened to the Apple Cup that we didn't even talk about, where, you know, a terrible Washington State team won. I just didn't see Auburn doing that this year.
Well, I didn't either. And I think we have Sonia and Jason on the line. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up?
Oh, honey. First off, you know I like you, so I'm not going to rub it in, and I'm not going to say a word and try to mess with you or anything like that. But to those other Auburn fans who were talking all that smack, I just got one thing to say.
What's that?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm done now. All right, I'm back. So we did have a good time, though. Seriously, it was a great game. It was really cool being there.
And thanks specifically to Tino. We had an awesome time. And, you know, Tarvin, this was my first experience at an actual SEC football game. You know, I've been to Ohio State, Michigan. I've been to a few Gopher games. So I've been to, you know, quite a few Big Ten games. And this was actually the first SEC game that I've actually witnessed. And I will just say, you know, my God. I mean, there's no comparison. And Tino, I mean, you know, props to you. Every Auburn fan we met was cool. Just cool. Everyone was friendly. You know, the hype was there. Just seeing the campus, the stadium, I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. So, what's the difference, really, when you talk about? I know you've been to an Ohio State Michigan game before in a rivalry, and honestly, this wasn't really a game, Jason. So, what was the difference in this one compared to the others?
The way I would say the way SEC teams tailgate, number one, because I mean the whole entire campus was a zoo. And then also, too, just the fever. I mean, granted, Ohio State, Michigan, they have some pretty rabid fans. But the feel is different. And for me, you know, when I go to these games, I go unbiased because I'm a Gopher. So, you know, I look through the eyes of looking at both sides. And when I watched the game yesterday, I was actually, you know, with the binoculars, I was looking at both sidelines and checking out, you know, the body language and just around the entire stadium. And just the structure and the way they handle games and I don't know. Like I said, it's a vibe, and there's a different vibe in SEC than there is in the Big Ten. It's kind of really hard to explain. I'm guessing if I went to a Big 12 game or a Pac-12 game, I'd say the same thing because every conference has kind of their different style of how they celebrate football. I mean, I pointed out to Smelly that when we were in B-Denny, you could take probably the north end of the field and go about three quarters around, and that's Minnesota Stadium. I mean, that's how many people there is. So, it you know, you can't really even compare. I mean, our Minnesota fans are rabid, but, man, I tell you, it was something to see. I've never heard Roll Tide so many times in my life.
Well, poor you, Jason. I'm sorry you had to endure that.
No, it was cool. I mean, like I said, Darvin, all the Auburn fans that we met and talked to were cool. You know, everyone wants to pit this, you know, there's fights and people getting drunk and blah, blah, blah. No, everyone was cool.
The ones that were left, now tell the truth now, come on.
Okay, by halftime they were.
Be real.
By halftime, all the Auburn fans, you could see them running down the aisles and leaving. And there was probably, I would say, about 200 Auburn fans that stuck out the entire game.
Yeah, we were giving big props. Seriously, though, we were giving big, big props to the Auburn fans that stuck it out. Because there were Auburn fans leaving, like, by the end of the second quarter. And we were just like, come on, dude, you know, stick to your, just support your boys. But, Tarvin, I talked to you earlier, and I told you, and I'm just going to be straight up with you. Dude, we sat there, and like Jason said, we had the binoculars. We were watching during the commercials. You know, when it goes to commercial on screen, that's when they kind of step out and they go into the huddle. And we were looking at Auburn, and Chizik did not until the last quarter, the last huddle. It was all Trooper Taylor, Loeffler. He did not participate in any sort of huddle. He talked to the players on the sidelines, but he didn't do anything. Anything as far as, like, coaching, he was just up and down, and it wasn't until that last thing. And you could tell that those players, and I hate to say this, and I'm sorry if it offends anybody, but it's just the truth. You can watch the game again. Your Auburn players gave up. After the first quarter. The only ones who were really, like, playing with heart are, like, Campbell, or what's his name?
Caleb.
Yeah, Caleb. There were maybe, like, five or six. But it was so obvious they gave up, and it got to the point where even Bama fans were rooting for these guys. It's like, come on. You know, just play, put your heart into it. And you felt bad.
Yeah, it did kind of feel kind of eerie in the fourth quarter.
See, that's a bad thing. When a rival that's hated as Alabama and Auburn, that's a bad thing to say coming from a Bama fan, or a bad thing to hear coming from a Bama fan, because most of the time...
Well, they want it competitive.
Yeah,
we were. I mean, seriously, we were at the point, we were just like, okay, come on, just, you know, kick, fight, do something. Don't just lay down. It's no fun to win that way.
But again, you know, many thanks to Tino. I mean, I had the time of my life. I mean, it was... something I will always remember, and I guarantee this will not be the last road trip Sonny and I make down to Brian Denny.
No, we had a great time. It was very interesting. And then now to address some of the other stuff, you know, the only thing about watching or attending a game is that you can't watch any other games. So you're depending on, you know, other folks to give you score updates and stuff like that. So after the game, of course, we were rushing, trying to see what was going on and what the other scores were. So at least we got some info. But, yeah, we were trying to follow the FSU Florida game. Sorry about your Seminoles, Trey.
Trey, what happened? Someone break their leg?
Tank Carradine broke tore his ACL.
He tore his ACL. He didn't break his leg. He tore his ACL. Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's too bad.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
yeah,
we were
talking about the Alabama-Auburn game, but I think Auburn really quit after that LSU game. I think they gave it all they had. I think they tried to win that game, and once they lost, I just think Chizik lost them. I think a lot of other things started happening internally. So once the team quits, it's over. You can't get them back, and there was nothing to play for. So, Sonia, you and Jason said they quit after the first quarter. I really believe they quit all the way back after that LSU game.
Yeah, they might have, but at least it seems like they were trying to do something. But it was just really weird to sit there, and we're looking at our binoculars, and we're looking down, and we see Trooper Taylor, he's stepping out, and he's talking to the players. And you see Gene Chizik, you know, walking up and down the sidelines, and we just looked at each other, and we're like, is he ever going to, like, step up and say anything, or?
Yeah, no, he basically checked out.
Yeah, it was like he checked out, the players checked out. It was it had to be the most, just weird watching. It was just weird.
And I actually had my binoculars on Saban on the last touchdown by Alabama.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was looking at Saban after they scored, and he just kept shaking his head.
Yeah, when Bama scored the last touchdown, he was shaking his head like it. Oh, God, are you serious? You guys are going to just, man.
And you could see, you know, in the last series, you know, it was fourth down with like 5 seconds to go, and the whole stadium was egging him to go for it to try to score. And Saban did the classy thing. He took a knee.
Made him take a knee.
It
just didn't feel right.
I'm glad he did take a knee because, I mean, you know, there's sportsmanship in this game that I think a lot of people lose sometimes. And there's no need to do that. You know, there's a lot more coming in the next few years. You know, you never know what can happen. But it meant a lot to me that he took his starters out of the game. that shows that this series is actually in a better place than I thought it would be. But, I mean, I don't want my rival to feel sorry for me. That's one of the bad things about it, though, Sonya.
I know. Well, see, that's what the guy, remember I told you, there was an Auburn guy, he's sitting next to me. He was sitting next to Smelly. And he goes, and I was talking to Smelly, and I was like, God, you know, I feel so sorry for them because they're just not in it. And he said the same. He was like, don't feel sorry for us. I was like, well, I don't feel sorry for you, but I damn sure feel sorry for the rest of y'all because y'all ain't playing like nothing. I mean, dude, you can get mad at me all you want to, but the truth is the truth. Look at your players. Look at your team. They're not doing a darn thing. My team is running all over them. This is laughable. I am bored here, and this is my first Iron Bowl, so don't get mad at me because your team is playing pathetically. You know what I'm saying? So it's like Auburn fans need to understand, yeah, we feel sorry because we want competition. But don't get mad at us for calling it what it is. Your team did not play. They didn't show up. Their heart's not in it. And they sucked. That's the bottom line. And it's sad that they did because it's too much talent at Auburn for them to be playing this way. And that's the part that just really pisses me off.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, at the beginning of the season, Tarvin, you know, I even agree, there was no reason why they shouldn't have won at least 7 or 8 games. I mean, they had the talent.
Yep. It would be different if Auburn had no talent. That would exactly, I'd say, okay, you know. But when you sit there and you look at all of the talent you got there, all you need is good coaching. It makes no sense for Auburn to have the record that they have. God, it's a waste. I mean,
Tarvin, our whole section, when they put Frazier in, our whole section, all the Bama, why are you putting in Frazier?
Yeah. I was like, dude, really?
Hey, guys, I appreciate y'all's call and everything, and I'm glad you got to go to that Iron Bowl, Jason and Sonya, and y'all have a great night. We got to move on real quick. We're running out of time. We have 5 games left to cover, Trey, so we're going to have to move it, bud.
Yeah, Tarvin, our next game is the Stanford-UCLA game, and I got to tell you, Stanford really impressed me in this game and really showed why they're a top-10 team. I mean, we're going to get to talk about this game again on Wednesday so we can move off this game because we're going to see the rematch real soon.
Yeah, Stanford did what they were supposed to do. They took care of business, and now they get a chance to play in the Rose Bowl. So let's move on.
Yeah, so we'll move on, and we'll talk about the Stanford-UCLA rematch, obviously. But the South Carolina-Clemson game How impressed or not impressed were you with Dabo Swinney, Clemson, and South Carolina in this game?
Well, I actually picked Clemson to win this game, and I'm not a big Clemson supporter or even liker. I can't stand Dabo Swinney, but I was very impressed with South Carolina going on the road and honestly dominating this game, Trey. The defensive line, Clowney and company, they took care of business, and South Carolina with a backup quarterback and without Lattimore, I'm shocked that they went in and beat them like this.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time when it looked like Clemson was going to control this, and I was just shocked to see that South Carolina sort of put the, you know, different, almost put it into a different gear and just took over this game in the fourth quarter. And I was like, you know, Clemson's got all the playmakers. How are they letting this happen? And there was a couple of controversial calls on Clemson that I think made a difference in this game, and that's really unfortunate, but I think when it comes down to it, I don't know that those calls cost Clemson the game, but there were some very bad calls in this game officiating against Clemson.
I'm with you, Trey, and this guy jumped down my throat today or last night for saying that. I was watching this game, and when I noticed some cheating going on, I'm going to call it out whether I'm pulling for a team or not. But it didn't hurt them, honestly, because they ended up throwing the interception. But, I mean,
yeah.
The pass interference call, Trey, that was garbage,
oh,
man. I mean,
yeah, it was
an SEC officiating crew making mistakes like that. I mean, that's almost obvious, blatant, and I'm not very impressed with that officiating crew. I think they should be fined and fired because, Trey, this was – almost like, I can't believe this is happening. And if I was Dabo Swinney, I would have been kicked out of the game because there's no reason to make calls like that in a game. But it was obvious the officials wanted South Carolina to win that game.
Tell you, I mean, I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy, but I mean, those calls were ridiculous. And you're right, I do like the fact that at least in some of the leagues, and especially the ACC, at least has really been good about disciplining their referees and their officials this year. I haven't heard it coming from the SEC, but I definitely think there should be some discipline when you have calls that are just so blatantly wrong, like you saw in the Clemson-South Carolina game.
Yeah, and Tino said he was stuck in the queue a little while ago. I didn't see him in there. So, Tino, if you can, call in Wednesday night if you want to. You can call back in tonight or whatever, but we want to get you back on the show to talk about the game. So, I apologize if we missed you in the queue. So, but Trey, I mean, South Carolina, I mean, are you impressed with a backup quarterback and no Lattimore taking care of business?
I was. I mean, I picked Clemson in this game, too. Really, I was really surprised at how well Clemson basically what I thought blew the game. I mean, I just thought Clemson did not play well, and I'm just surprised at how well South Carolina did play. So kudos for South Carolina. You know, again, a big ACC loss where they should have won. And just showing you that, you know, even the best ACC teams weren't very good this year.
Exactly. So take us on, man.
Well, I know Jason's going to help everyone wants to talk about this one. The Oregon State, the Civil War. Tarvin, if this was the Civil War, there wasn't much of a battle because Oregon just dominated and shellacked the Beavers.
Well, the thing about it, Oregon knew going in that it was unlikely, not very likely, that they were going to play for a conference championship. So they had to go take care of business, and they had to do it convincingly, and they did. Very impressed with the Oregon Ducks in that rival game, coming off a heartbreaking, gut-wrenching loss to Stanford. But to show up, focus, and taking care of business, that shows you what kind of team Oregon has and what kind of coach they have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Chip Kelly. I kind of think that, that he'll be back next year, but not go pro, so to speak. But Chip Kelly and that team looked focused. They did not seem to at all buy into the, you know, not to mention this is a good Oregon State team. This is an Oregon State team who's played very well this year. And they went out and took care of business and really beat them handily. So you got to really be proud if you're an Oregon fan and Jason Humphrey out there, because Oregon looked very good. And you just got to hope now that you don't get a BCS spot robbed from you by the golden flashes of Kent State.
And the reason why they could do that is because, you know, the team that finishes third and I believe, you know, gets an automatic berth, so Florida would be that team. And I think fourth, if they actually finish fourth, so you're right. Oregon and Oklahoma could get robbed. Florida could get in, and then you could have them getting robbed, which would be a travesty. But I was impressed with the Oregon Ducks for taking care of business. That's what they're supposed to do, and that's what they did.
And they absolutely deserve to go to the BCS. And so I really hope that they are in, because it's a travesty if Oregon is left out of this whole conversation, and they're playing, you know, in the Holiday Bowl or whatever it is. That's just not right.
Yep.
And Tarvin, that takes us to our last game, the Florida State-Florida game. Florida, we talked about this before the show. You know, you asked me if this was a Jimbo Fisher loss, and my perspective was this was an E.J. Manuel loss. He took the, you know, Jimbo Fisher put the ball in E.J.'s hands, and, you know, what did he do with it? He threw pick after pick, and he played like a quarterback who hasn't played in this game before. So, you know, I think that, you know, this game was really lost to the quarterback from Florida State and some of the special teams errors as well.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, Florida came in with a chip on their shoulder, you know, being underdogs to their rivals. And all week we heard, I picked Florida State to win, you picked Florida State to win, but all week they heard how Florida State was going to dust them, how they were going to take care of business. Did you hear the Florida defensive coordinator, Trey, said he, at halftime, he said, I think he said to the media that he played better defenses all season than what he was seeing today. So that's a cheap shot by the Gators to their in-state rivals. So Florida dominated this game, man, I mean, physically. Yeah. And I think Florida State wasn't used to seeing that kind of physicality, Trey.
Well, you know, again, you got to question their preparation and knowing they're going to go in to see, you know, one of the more physical teams in the country. I mean, Florida is just isn't an SEC caliber team. You know, Florida is above almost every team in the nation when it comes to this violence on the field. And this team hits hard, they play hard. and their defense is just outstanding, and they hit every single person who has the football hard every single time. And you're right. I mean, at times it seemed Florida State wasn't ready to hit, which is something that should never happen with the talent that Florida State has. I think the injury to Tank Carradine and some of those that really hurt on the defense, but you know, Florida State's defense did not play anywhere near as good, but they were on the field quite a lot because of all the turnovers.
Yep, and they were. I mean, Jimbo Fisher, though, Trey, I mean, looking at his face on the sidelines was just, honestly, it just looked like disgust and just embarrassment and just like he didn't know what to do anymore. I mean, you play in the ACC, you play a schedule that you should dominate, and honestly, you know, that loss to NC State really hurt this team. But, I mean, even if they hadn't lost to NC State, I think the same thing would have happened yesterday. I think Florida would have taken care of business. So tell me, what about Jimbo Fisher's future at Florida State? Is he the coach that they're going to hang on to, or how many more years of mediocrity will they put up with?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say that if he's winning 10 games that he'd be fired. I don't think that's going to happen. I think what's going to happen, Tarvin, really, is he'll be back next year. I think Mark Stoops is going to be gone because he's going to take a head coaching position. He's the defensive coordinator who's at least interviewed for one position already. And he is, without a doubt, probably the best coach on that staff. And if he leaves and they don't get a defensive mind in there who's near as competent as Mark Stoops is, then you're going to see Jimbo Fisher's record start whittling down. And that's when you'll see Fisher fired. So, unfortunately, I think we're going to see the coordinator get raided by another program, and then that's going to lead to Jimbo Fisher having a less than spectacular record. And then we'll start talking about firing Jimbo Fisher, but I don't think he's going to be fired this year.
All right. Well, we have Jason in the queue. Jason, you got about 30 seconds. Tell us your thoughts about the Oregon Ducks.
Hey, everyone, it's me, Jason. A great win at Civil War. Oregon dominated, fostered 5 turnovers, turning the game quickly. It was close at the halftime, and Oregon blew them out. Go Ducks. And hopefully we get to be this mid. Okay?
All right. Well, thanks, Jason. And I think they will, Trey. I think Oregon will end up in that game somewhere, the Fiesta Bowl or somewhere, hopefully the Sugar Bowl. But, man, it's been a great, exciting show tonight. We've had so much to talk about, and we're running out of time now. But we had a ton of live listeners tonight, Trey. We're not staff picked or anything, but the numbers we're getting from, you know, other shows and people spreading the word is starting to pay off. And I just want to thank everybody for taking the time on your Sunday night to spend with us. We really enjoy having you, and we want to keep them coming, Trey.
Absolutely. Thanks for all the people who called in. Thanks for the live listeners. Thanks for all the people in the chat room tonight.
And go to blogtalkradio.com, get a free account, sign up, and follow us. You can follow Weigh In Sports Talk, or you can search Tarvino and follow us. We'd love to have you. And also, you know, there's a Weigh In Sports Talk message board that you can join where we put our picks up every week, and that's how you can compete against the host to see if you can host the show. And you can go to Twitter at Weigh In Sports. And there's another group out there I looked at. It's called Sports Talk. So look at that, everybody out there, a little good sports discussion group. We have Pigskin Pride. There's just so many different groups we interact with, and it's a way to, you know, to get a lot of feedback of the show, but also get some information to see what they want to talk about, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, there's going to be a lot to talk about. Next week we'll have 10 games again in college and 5 in pro, but there's going to be a lot of coaching moves that we'll be able to focus on. And then, you know, that always leads to a lot of discussion. And we already saw a little bit tonight, Tarvin, is, you know, who goes where in the coaching carousel.
It's going to be fun to see. And then people missed it. Gene Chizik fired 2 years after the national championship. So we're going to find out who the coach is going to be. And, man, I just don't know who it's going to be. I don't even want to guess anymore. I just want to be told what it's going to be. But, Trey, great job as always. Again, thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, we're going to break down this big games coming up this weekend and hopefully give you some information. We want everybody to join us, 9 p.m. Eastern Wednesday night on a regular night. Trey, everybody, you all have a great night and a good week.
Bye.